We sit glued to the TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of...
Hello and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 39. I'm Ray from ramblingsofatvwhore.com.
I'm Jason the TVaholic from TVaholic.com.
And I'm Emery from MyTakeOnTV.com.
Howdy.
Hello.
Hi.
Do we have any news, people?
We have some small news. Hawthorne, possibly inexplicably, has been renewed for a second season.
Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah. Michael Vartan. But
okay, Michael Vartan didn't get that renewed. Jada Pinkett Smith got that renewed.
No, I know. But for me, the only reason to even remarkably, like remotely tune in is Michael Vartan, and he has like a line, an episode.
Isn't it just kind of sad, actually, that it got renewed, because now he won't be on anything else either.
I know. Oh, shoot.
No, I'm just teasing.
Yeah, I haven't really seen the ratings on that, but apparently it was good enough.
Must be doing okay.
Anyway.
Must be doing just good enough, plus Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, moving on. What else do we have?
Just that V finally has a premiere date, and it's not going to premiere in the fall. I mean, in the spring, like they thought it was. V will start November 3rd. Yay! It's so good. I love it.
Which is?
A Tuesday at 8.
So it's going to be on at 8?
That's the rumor.
Well, it's not. They're not showing anything bad. I mean, it's a little psychologically scary, but right?
Yeah.
What is on at 8 o'clock until then?
Dancing with the Stars.
On Tuesdays?
I have no idea. I'm just making this up. I don't have anything in front
Tuesdays
of me.
Tuesdays would be at 9 o'clock. It would be...
Well, what? See, they started Shark Tank.
They're going to be playing the rest of Shark Tank there. Okay.
Because it was supposed to premiere at the end of September, but it premiered at the beginning of August. So it's going to be done early, so V will start. And that's just amazing news. Because I love it. But you know what? I still haven't heard that there's a Private Practice premiere date, which kind of cracks me up.
They hinted at that, not Private Practice. They hinted at the V premiere date, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Premiere date moving up when we were in the press room at Comic-Con, didn't they?
Private Practice is supposed to be October 1st.
Oh, I didn't see that anywhere. Anyway, okay. So V, November 3rd. Do we have any other news?
I don't know. Just that's cool that it's coming earlier, but that's kind of a weird... It seems like a weird time.
Why?
I don't know. 8 o'clock on Tuesdays just seems like a weird...
That's what time primetime starts.
Yeah, I know, but that just seems like a weird time for a show like that. I don't know. That's all I'm saying. That just, to me, it just seems odd. It seems more like a 9 or 10 o'clock show. I don't know.
But that's what I'm saying.
I'm sure it'll get moved around. The thing is, they just need to fill a spot right now. I'm sure it'll move around.
They need to fill a spot, and it's gotten some good buzz, so they want to bring it as soon as they can.
Exactly.
All right.
All right.
Let's move on.
Let's move on.
Because that's all we've got for you for topic. And not topic.
That's the news.
That's the news. News to you and me. All right. So our topic this week was the last of Brandon's suggested topics, which is, what movies do you think could make a successful leap to television and vice versa? And what ones would you guys like to see regardless of whether or not it would be successful? Couldn't we also...
Oh, hey, Brandon. Sorry you lost.
Which ones would you not like to see regardless of whether it would be successful? I'm just going to ignore that from Amory. All right.
I love it.
Save it for prime time, Amory. All right. So, Jason.
Oh, I never want to go first in a situation like this.
And why not?
Because I like to piggyback off of other people's ideas.
At least you're honest about it. All right, so I will mention that we, as mentioned last week, or on the last podcast anyway, we said that we are opening the topic up to also include books. Because it has been discussed already between us, not between us, like specifically, just it comes up enough that we decided to include it as well. So
that's what she said.
Anyway, ignoring that.
I was doing a lot of ignoring today.
Ignoring that as well. What? Let's just start with movies, because I actually had a hard time with these. I mean, I have actually several, but I find that in general, movies, of course, by their very nature, are made to be not necessarily simple plots, but something that fits in 2 hours and it's done.
Right.
So it's hard to think of what movies you would take and adapt. Like, I kept coming back to all my favorite, like, high school movies, because those are the kind of movies that could continue because they're in a setting in which you can see multiple years going on. You know what I mean? Like, they're in a different type of setting. Whereas, like, a movie that kind of exists on its own and it just exists for the one short plot that it has, then I had a hard time thinking of how those would be expanded into a series, I guess.
So what you're saying is that you don't think there could ever be a Legend of Bagger Vance TV show.
Correct.
Right. Just making sure I'm on the same page.
Actually, you know what? That's a bad example.
Is that on your list?
No. Yes, in fact, number two. No. Only. No. Sorry. But the only reason that's a bad example is because at least that has, like, that has somebody's life. Like, it's about somebody's life. So theoretically, it has, like, a longer, it could be a series. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you, like, I don't know. But, like, I don't know. Clue, for example.
Do you I'm know? Looking at,
I don't know. I'm looking at my wall of movies right now, and I can see Clue from where I'm sitting. So, like, I think Clue would be kind of a fun kind of TV show, but it's not meant to be. I mean, first of all, it's based off of a game. Speaking of pop culture things becoming movies, it's based off of a game, so obviously it doesn't have a huge, like, serial type of setup to it. So, like, that's where I cannot really see it. I don't know how you would tramp to a TV show and have it be a long TV show. Or, you know, Deep Blue Sea. Not really. That one actually could, but...
You have an eclectic taste in movies. Eclectic.
I do.
You don't often hear Deep Blue Sea and Clue mentioned in the same sentence.
And in between those is The Cutting Edge, which I actually...
Oh, The Cutting Edge. Love it.
All right, anyway.
So what do you want to see as a TV show?
The Cutting Edge, they keep continuing that on movie-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to just stop that.
They're doing another one.
I know they are. Well, you know what? I initially wrote down Go, not because I want to see the movie itself become a TV show, because I like the structure of the way Go was told. And then I thought about it, and I was like, you know, Boomtown was Go, just about cops, like a procedural type of thing.
Yeah.
Because Boomtown told the story from every different perspective. And that's what I like about... it only had one season.
No, it had two. In the second season, they changed.
Anyway, so...
Which is why I think it didn't last longer, is because what made it cool in the first season wasn't happening in the second season, which was that telling it from different perspectives.
Right. So that's kind of what I like about Go, and I would like to see kind of a story. And I think you could do it with the same type of thing where they weren't teenagers, they were older than that, but the same type of thing where you have... like a group of people who all work in the same store, or, you know what I mean? Like, they have different social lives, but you get to see how they overlap or whatever.
Yeah.
And in a way, I think Skins is not told, is not really told this way, but it is told it from different perspectives, in that you get to see it, each person's different story each week. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same idea. So I think, like, I had Go, but I'm not sure it really works, because I think
I really like Go. I could see that.
I love Go.
I could see the theory behind it, definitely.
Right. Also on my list, this one is actually, they've tried to do it. They've been trying to do it for a couple of years now, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Which I think if they could get the right two leads for that, it would be a great TV show.
Because they had Jordana Brewster and Martin Henderson for a while. That was the last iteration of the pilot.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest, I can't see myself liking Jordana Brewster for that.
Yeah, me either.
Like, I had enough of her from the little time she was on Chuck. I didn't need any more of, you know what I mean? I can see why they would think of her, but I just don't see her holding up a show. Like, you really got to have two people who have great chemistry in order to pull it off, I think.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then one I do have is Bend It Like Beckham, which again is pulling from my teen choices, but I would probably set it in the U.S. and I'm thinking more of a type of story that shows off like kids who are raised in like an American culture who have been raised in the States, but who are from families who have deep cultural and traditional backgrounds, so that, you know, like they're raised, the way they're raised kind of conflicts with what they're being asked to do for their culture or their traditions, which is what Ben like Beckham's about.
Yeah.
But I think that would be kind of, that would make kind of an interesting TV show. And you could still base it around the same type of thing, like somebody who's really into soccer, something that is not something she's supposed to be doing, or, you know what I mean, like is considered, because in that one she was showing skin and doing stuff like whatever that she wasn't supposed to be doing, so it went against her family's cultural learnings. I don't know.
Miles. Hey, Miles. I didn't really think about many movies. Do you have more movies?
Hadley sent one to me that I'm not sure if I should say. The Goonies.
The Goonies!
Could be fun.
Aw.
Riker Dungal from yet another TV review podcast wrote me on Twitter and suggested maybe, like, was trying to understand what I meant and said, from recent movies, maybe, like, Transformers. I don't know if I agree with this, for the record. I'm going to quote what was sent to me. One lone robot, a Knight Rider type of thing, but a Transformer. I guess I could see that. That's what was said in the Twitter. Sorry. But I don't know if I would agree with that. I think that would be quickly going down the path of the show that shall not be named.
Oh, the show that shall not be named.
Yeah, I think they tried to pull too much of things like Knight Rider and things that were happening. Knight Rider. I went and said the show name. Nice. Transformers. Because of things like Transformers and stuff like that, I think they tried to overshoot for what they thought would be cool for a TV show.
And I think they would do the same thing if they had a Transformer show.
I had trouble trying to think of like movies that I would like to see as a TV show. I think a lot of things that are built off of like Die Hard, you know, built around a cop, you know, in a interesting situation or something like that. That taking something like that, you know, cop movies that revolve around some sort of mystery or some sort of, you know, a cop character, that you could pull that character into a TV show. And but I don't have anything, like, specific that's, popping out of my head. I do have, Kyle added some comments to the last podcast, and one of his suggestions under movies to TV shows was, he said the first thing that popped into his mind was Ferris Bueller, and then he remembered.
One, it's probably not the right time, but I also don't really think Ferris Bueller would, I don't know if it could hold up.
Yeah.
As a TV show. Like, I don't know how long it would take. Maybe it'd be just like Psych, where you could get used to it, but I don't know how long you would be able to take Ferris Bueller before you were like, this kid's an because he's not an asshole, but you know what I mean, like, he's totally irreverent, so like, I don't know how long you would be it's charmed by him, I guess.
Right.
It'd be tricky casting too, because you'd gotta I don't know, it's a legend, so it's like, I wrote down Heathers and then I was like, I don't know if you could ever do Heathers, because it's such the original has such whatever you want to call it, you know what I mean, that I don't know if you could even try to make even cast people to be a new Heathers.
I know exactly what you mean. See, like, I would say that any, like, teen comedy kind of movie, like, Can't Hardly Wait. Wouldn't you love to see, like, what happens, you know, the next day or whatever? But then it's like, that's such a classic to me, and that's kind of how I felt about 10 Things I Hate About You, which they're kind of, you know, they're doing better. It's like, how can you cast these roles that are kind of so good?
But can't, Can't Hardly What was all about the graduation. So
yeah,
it would be hard to do What Comes After because they're all about to leave. They're all leaving. Maybe if you did What Came Before, that would be interesting. If you led up to what happens in the movie, maybe.
I don't know.
I was going to suggest, which is another teen show, see, Get Over It. And then I realized that Glee is actually kind of just like Get Over It. It's not exactly.
Oh, my God. I love the movie Get Over It.
You know what I'm talking about? It's like Glee to take the place of Get Over It. So I don't need Get Over It as a TV show. Like, right. I think it would be too close to Glee. So anyway, sorry.
Rains and I love that show. I mean, that movie. We've watched it so many times.
It's awesome.
I didn't really do movies, and I have a book, well, a book series, because, I mean, there's a lot of people that are turning books into movies, or into shows, you know, Vampire Diaries, and that's all I've got off the top. I mean, Sookie Stackhouse books and all that.
Dexter,
yeah. So, like, I was a big fan of V.C. Andrews, pretty much read, like, everything up until a certain point. I haven't read them in a long time because she died and her family kept going. But I love the series Ruby, the one set in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And I always imagine that as, like, I don't know, maybe a miniseries or, like, a TV show or something like that. Because there's a lot that goes on in 5 books. There's a lot of stuff that they can really, like, pull from. So to me, that was always something I wanted to see on TV just because I wanted to see it personified.
I wonder how tricky that is when the author is dead.
I don't know. I've never tried to see that.
Yeah, I guess it depends on who's holding the reins on the estate, or who owns the rights to the book.
I know that her family does, V.C. Andrews' family, because they write in, like, all the new books they put out. Because it's like they're basically just recreating the wheel in every book that they put out. They're like, this is, you know, based off of a story idea that V.C. Andrews had. Love her family, basically.
I understood that it's who holds the rights. I just wonder how tricky it gets.
Yeah, I'm sure it gets very tricky.
Anyway. All right, so since Amory has moved us into books.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of suggestions on the book front myself, but a few came in on Twitter. Tom Wilson, 24, at Tom Wilson, 24, sent in the suggestions of the Harry Bosch series of books by Michael Conley, or any of Martina Cole's books.
I don't know who either of those people are, but I'm going to take your word for it, Tom Wilson, 24.
The Harry Bosch series is a detective, Harry Bosch, and different murders, mysteries. And Martina Cole writes books. She's from England or some area there, and she writes books that take place in a certain section of, you know, sort of hard times or whatever of people growing up there or stuff, just from the basic quick look that I looked at some of the books. And then Joseph over at popculturezoo.com or at popculturezoo.
Hey, Joe.
On Twitter. He suggested the Felix Caster series by Mike Carey. And that one actually sounded, from the little bit I went and read about it, that one sounded interesting because they're detective mystery novels, but they're also sort of supernatural thrillers, so they have an element of both fantasy and mystery, and those types of things would, I think, could be where you don't have just you have a couple different things that you can draw from to move a series along, you know, and it's a 4-book series, and a 5th one comes out in September, so there's a lot to pull from there, too.
Cool.
Yeah, I would agree with both. I haven't read Martina Cole, but I've read both of the others, and I would agree with those. On my list, which is always on my list, is Janet Ivanovich's Stephanie Plum series.
Mm-hmm.
Which probably will never get made into a TV series because the rights for it to be a movie have been bought, so.
Oh.
And they've been trying to make it a movie for years, like before the first book came out, so I don't ever think it's gonna.
Yeah, before the first book came out, and we're on 15.
Yeah. So. I don't know that they've had anybody trying to, like, write it or whatever, but
yeah,
the rights have been purchased since then. So, but I would love to see that as, I don't think it really works as a movie, which may be why they're having trouble getting it to work as a movie.
Because there's so much in those books. Like, there, you couldn't fit that all into a movie.
Right. I think it would be better as a TV series. I think it would be kind of great. And I think you'd have some options about whether you do it like she does, which she has Between the Numbers, which are books that happen, like stories that happen in between the big mystery books she writes. You could create the same type of thing with the TV show happening in between those so that it doesn't interfere with what she's doing in her books, because her books are still, although she's only contracted through this next book, the 16th. I'm sure they'll pick up more, but right now she's just contracted through the 16th. So, but you could do it in between, or you could do like a straight kind of adaption, just like the True Blood, or which started out as a straight adaption and then kind of becomes its own thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know where it would fall for her, like, because she's still writing them, I guess. Anyway, so that's one of my big ones that's always on my list that I would love to see. Another one that I just fell in love with Lisa Lutz's Spellman series, and I think it would be awesome, which is about a private eye family. It would be great on USA, because it's all about how they're, I mean, it's about the cases in the books, but it's also really about the family being like, they're such characters, like the way that they all kind of like spy on each other because they're private eyes. Like when they think somebody's keeping a secret, they'll like spy on each other and follow them around and track them and put, you know, electronic tracking devices on their car just to find out where they are, whatever. So it's kind of, they're kind of funny. Like, I think they're not kind of funny. They're really funny, but I think it would be awesome as a, like a characters type of show on USA. Because all of the entire family is, you know what I mean? A character.
I gotcha.
So it would be fun. What else? I have Sherilyn Kenyon's Dark Hunter series, which probably would have been better before all of the other Supernatural series started getting made.
Yeah.
her Dark Hunters are vampires, basically, but she doesn't call them vampires, really. Like, they have different... She has shapeshifters. She has gods. She has goddesses. She has demons, you know. She has the whole gamut. But the books are really... Like, they're really... The mythology is really there. I think it could make a fun TV series. Anyway, sorry. Not being able to speak. It would make a fun...
I'm like, what is going on there?
I was making fun of myself not being able to say series. I'm so serious. Anyway.
Seriously?
Oh, Lord. And then my last one on the books. I have several books, but the last I wrote down was I love Jasper Ford's Thursday Next series. It's always a series. Which is about a literary agent, not in the sense that you're thinking.
He's
more like, not like a literary agent, like, you know, you're thinking of somebody who represents somebody who writes. That's not what it's right. It's somebody who, she has to keep track of what's happening in the books, because if somebody's getting into the books and changing the story in a book, or if things start happening, like as books get republished, as the story gets slowly changed, that means somebody's trying to change a story. I know I'm not doing a very good job of explaining it.
Yeah, I am so confused about what this book series is.
I know. I can't. It's a special ops literary. Special literary. Oh, whatever. I can't think of how to say it. I don't have the book in front of me. But basically, she's on the police force. So it's a procedural type of show. Book. Whatever. In which she gets to jump into books and try to figure out who is inside the book. Like, in other words, other people can jump into the book. So... Sometimes you have bad people jumping into the book and trying to change the story of the book. I don't know if you would adapt it, if you would take a exact adaptation, meaning like you would make it about the books, which would be kind of fun because then you could do the jumping in and out of classic books. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or if you would try Or if you would try and adapt it and make it more about TV series and movies. And try to do the same type of, like, you would have a different, you wouldn't be Thursday Next, it would be somebody else, but, you know what I mean? Like, who was trying to change movies or whatever. Which might be kind of fun, too. The reason I say that is because in the book itself, like, the Jasper Ford kind of changes the way you read the book. Like when she has to call back to the agency for help, she does it through the footnotes. Like they have a footnote phone, basically. So like you'll see a little like the little footnote number, and then if you have to jump down to the footnote to read her conversation that she made the phone call. So like I don't know how you'd adapt that if you tried to do it exactly. You might do it with closed captioning. I don't know how you would do it is what I'm saying. But right. You could do something different with movies. But it would be kind of fun, I think. It would be fun if they did an exact adaptation and therefore you got to jump in that of books. Like it would be exposure to those classical stories. It's not all classical stories. Like they do Humpty Dumpty too. So it's all different stories. Anyway, those are mine. Sorry I had to explain that one so much in depth.
No, it's okay. There's another book that I read. It's another series. It's only three books though, so I'm not sure how it would work. But it was about this girl who was like new in town. It's called The Secret Diaries. And I read it when I was a teenager. So it was like 15 years ago. And it was, no, maybe that makes, no, I was not reading, never mind. I was like 15. long story short, I don't know. It's about this girl and she falls in love with this guy. And then his name is Penn, and there's Steven and Tessa, and they killed their friend, or they were witness to their friend's death. And like, she kind of gets involved in the situation. And it was my three favorite books that I had ever read up until that point. I think that would be fun. But like I said, I don't know how they could make that go into a series. You know, it's just going to be a bunch of running around like, oh my God, Lori's dead and it's all our fault. I don't know.
But you probably do it. I have those kind of books too. Like those books that I read as a like preteen teenager. Like I have a book series called All That Glitters that was about a soap, like kids who acted in a soap opera. It wasn't about the soap opera herself. Huh. So of course their life was kind of dramatic and soap opera like, but that would be kind of fun to see adapt, like for ABC Family, or even for like ABC or Nickelodeon, or not ABC, Disney or Nickelodeon. It would be kind of fun. Anyway,
a couple other book suggestions that came in. Kyle, which is at KYOOL on Twitter, he said Yes Man, which he knows has already been made into a movie, but that he thinks that pretty much any of Danny Wallace's books could become interesting TV shows. And the other one that he mentioned, which I thought was interesting, was that he would like to see Michael Crichton's Timeline be redone as like a TV event, sort of a miniseries, instead of because he doesn't believe that the movie that was made did the book justice.
Hmm. I could see that one actually as a TV series, like on Sci-Fi.
Yeah. Imagine greater.
That's right. And
Sissy. Sorry, I said it wrong.
One other from at Avis TV Tweets on Twitter. He wrote in and suggested World War Z, which is a futuristic history of World War against zombies.
Nice. I'm a fan of zombies.
And so it would be... that one sounded interesting. It's that the way the book is put together is it's accounts from people around the world that have had to battle the zombie threat. And,
awesome.
And their accounts to the author. So then the author is written it up. And so it's sort of... It looks like it's sort of written as a history of like that futuristic time, and that sounds. Anytime you can throw in some zombies, that could be
exactly. I'm all about the zombies.
That one actually sounds just from the little bit I've read on Amazon about what the book is about. That one actually sounds like a good idea.
What, you trying to say the other ones are not a good idea?
No, but some no, are. Some seem
like
some.
Good idea.
Some you, sound, guys, you know, some have some are more of a good idea than others. I'm just saying, there's a lot to in that you could. I mean,
open mouth, insert foot.
No, with that you can have characters
anyway.
From all over and stuff like that. I just see some things are could make for a good series, but you know, it's based on a detective novel, so you have a detective series. But this has, you know, a little something different. You could mm-hmm. you could change up the cast as, you know, moving around. You wouldn't have to be the same people all the time. And I don't know. There's just some things that sounded more interesting to me than others.
I gotcha. We were just joking.
And I was just explaining.
Okay.
So that's books and movies. Are there any... the other one that he mentioned, that Kyle mentioned, it's actually sort of a TV show to movie that would be back to TV show, would be Mission Impossible.
Hmm. I think they could do a really good job with that now. Like with all the side, you know, the special effects and all the stuff that go into that.
Yeah, a lot more cool technology gear type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
On that type of front, from TV shows, the only thing that really came to mind is something like Leverage. That could actually, especially the way like the first episode ran and stuff like that, that you could actually do a Leverage movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would...
I could see that.
That would come out, you know, sort of has that, you know, Ocean's 11 type of vibe to it. And then the other thing that I just saw was that for ABC's Castle is that they're putting out the book that he's writing on the show.
Hmm.
Like
that's cool.
Like so, like the first Nikki Heat novel is actually going to be a novel, and so that's kind of an interesting. Instead of doing like a Castle series, where you know you take a series, you see that happen with lots of different shows. I mean, even like you know Psych and stuff like that has novels built off of the.
Yeah.
The TV show, but this one, they actually have written the novel that the character was writing, and that's an interesting twist.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
They announced that a couple months ago, didn't they?
That's the first I heard of it, but I don't really read the news.
They only announced it to Literary World. Well, I'm a book reader, obviously, so I may have just read it somewhere, like... It may have been a...
Well, I just noticed it today.
Book announcement.
While I was looking at something else, I came across it. I think those types of things work for TV shows going towards books. It's pretty much anything detective mystery type of thing always lends itself to being able to be written as a novel.
Yeah, oh right. Yeah, definitely.
Doesn't always translate well, but yeah.
The potential's there.
Yeah, exactly.
It depends on who actually ends up writing the stuff, and then some things
have some issues.
And then some things are better.
What is going on over there, Jay?
And then some things are better as just a TV show because of I don't know some of the things that the way the humor works or something like that is visual more than, and you can't always draw the. With words, create the person think the right picture sort of thing to create that moment.
I don't know if I agree with that, but I mean, like specifically, I'm thinking of the Psych novels. They're written by somebody who has written for the show, has been involved with the show, but something about Sean does not translate well to print. He just ends up coming off like a selfish asshole the entire time. So it makes the book hard to enjoy. And yes. It's not like they're not doing the right character or, you know what I mean? Like there's humor in there that's great and they can do more things because they can get kind of like they can make the story grander because they can travel around and do things that you can't really do on the show because you're limited by your budget and whatever. But some things just don't translate well, or sometimes you get it written by somebody who doesn't know the characters that great, and they you know doesn't sound like the characters or whatever. It's a weird thing. I have a hard time, I guess, with tie-in novels because I don't consider them canon. Like I don't consider them actual stories that have to do with the show, so it's hard for me to read them because it kind of takes me off track from what's happening with the actual show. So
mm-hmm.
It's kind of like fanfic. It's not fanfic, obviously, but it's kind of like that's why I don't like fanfic either, because I don't like to read somebody else's interpretation of what's going to happen. So
fanfic anyway. Can get a little skeezy too. So
yeah, it has its own issues, but All right. Well, then let's go to the last of this, which was any TV shows that we'd like to see as movies. Or, and I'm adding the any TV shows that we would not like to see as movies. And you know why I'm adding that?
I don't know why you're adding that.
Because, and I'm sorry, everybody who really wants the Veronica
Mars.
Oh,
wait. Yes, I do know why you're adding that.
I really do not want the Veronica Mars movie. And there are multiple reasons. The first of which is that, unlike almost everybody else in the world, I liked the ending. Also, I think I just don't want the wound opened, quite frankly. I've gotten over that it's gone, and
yeah, you're healed. You're good to go now. You've gotten over it.
Yeah, I've let go of, and I'm not let go of them, but I can look fondly back without feeling resentful that I don't get any more. But if I got a movie, I just feel like it might not. If the movie doesn't live up to my expectations, or you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Even if it yeah. does live up to my expectations, it'll remind me that I really wish I had more stories with these people, whatever. So I guess for me, that's why I don't really want that movie.
I gotcha.
But I don't have any other. I tried looking at my wall of TV shows, and I really don't have any that I'd like to see as movies.
There's nothing that I really like want to see as movies. I'd be interested to see how a 24 movie worked. Well, no, they did it for TV, but like they're going to do.
They've talked about it.
They want to do a full
movie.
Big screen movie of it. So I'd kind of be interested to see what they did with that. But at the same time, it won't be the same, like.
Well, unless it, you know, started at midnight and went to midnight the next day.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd just be weird. So.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. They'd have to. You sort of have to, like they did with the, you know, the 2 hour movie, TV movie type thing, is if you do a movie off of that, to keep it within, you have to like pick a certain 2 hour period of time.
Right.
That something has to happen by then to keep that time element in it, or you have to do something where at some point the time element takes over.
Right. I don't know.
Kind of screwed because it's hard to get anything done in 2 hours. It's hard to get anything on a grand scale done in 2 hours. Or even if you brought the time element into only one section of the movie, then you'd only have like a 15-minute time.
Right.
Or even 20, you know what I mean? Like you wouldn't have very much time in which something could still happen. So it'd be hard.
There's nothing else that's coming to mind.
Yeah, I don't really have anything.
Yeah, I kind of went through. I tried to think of, you know, some past or present shows, you know, things I'm watching now, and there's not a lot of, I can't say that there's a lot of things that I would like to see as a movie. There are things, like I said, like Leverage that I could see
working as one?
As a possible movie.
Yeah.
I think any of the, I don't know, anything that's more action-oriented, you know, could work as a movie, because you could actually go bigger and grander, you know, possibly with, you know, with some of those types of things. But, yeah, there's nothing like jumping out at me that I would think would work that way.
Yeah.
Just because a lot of things, like we were talking earlier about, you know, thinking about a movie, lots of movies are built to be, it has a resolution. And a lot of TV shows are built where they're built for continuation. And so to shrink it down and just put it into, you know, a movie, it's like the only thing to do is to take like a certain, you're just taking like a certain, what would be an episode or two episodes and just making it on a bigger scale where you tell a story, but it still, you know, could continue, you know, continue on. But
I could see something like, when How I Met Your Mother gets done, I could see a How I Met Your Mother movie that just cuts out all of the, you know what I mean? It's just about How I Met Your Mother, kind of like a rom-com type of movie with the same cast. Like, I could see it. But it would have to be once the show's done. Like, once the show comes to a conclusion, and therefore you could encapsulate that entire story probably. And it wouldn't be the same as the TV show, because the TV show is all about really what's happening with the friends and their stories and whatever. But you could make a fun 2-hour movie, How I Met Your Mother. I wouldn't mind seeing an L Word movie, because hopefully they would force them to do a good job with it.
Yeah.
Unlike the last season of the show, which totally made me bitter. Mitch, maybe that's why I would like to see it, because like all the Veronica Mars fans who would like a movie who didn't like the ending, I would prefer a different last moment with them. And that maybe would give that to me. I was also thinking, because I'm looking up at my shelf, Life, I could see that as a movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome.
Like with them trying to figure out what, like just his story about it. You know what I mean?
Like, not to be confused with the Eddie Murphy movie Life.
Correct. We're talking about Charlie Cruz here. I can see that as a movie. Like, I could see you making just his story and the deal behind who sent him to jail, whatever. Mm-hmm. I could see that being a very good movie. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah. So that's right. That. What about you guys out there listening?
I thought you were asking us. I'm like, dude, we just talked about it.
I meant our listeners. What do you guys want to see?
Yeah, any other suggestions?
Don't yell at me, okay, about not wanting a Veronica Mars movie.
Yeah,
you're allowed to want it. I'm allowed to not want it.
Don't flame Ray.
Yeah. That's at Ray Lee on Twitter.
Anyway,
I think it's time to move on.
All right, let's move on, Amory.
Prime time.
Didn't you do it twice? All right, whatever.
Prime time. I think it's better.
You just normally.
Normally, she continues singing something else. She sort of just stopped.
Prime time, running together. Prime time.
All right. We get it.
So it's prime time.
All right, I'm just gonna go down the list as we said it before. The closer. Why are you laughing?
The only thing going through my head right now is Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Why?
I don't know why. Okay, I do know why. Let me give you my train of thought. So I watched 5 episodes of My So-Called Life today. And in one of the episodes, Frank Hay, Hey Ho Ho Hey, from Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit, was in it. He was in one scene in one episode. He asked Jordan to leave because the party sucked in the pilot. So I've been thinking about Frank Hay, Hey Ho Ho Hey all day. And then I started thinking about Sister Act 2. And then I started thinking about the end of Sister Act 2. And now I'm thinking about Ain't No Mountain High Enough. Ain't No Valley Low Enough.
That is one hell of a train ride.
Yeah, that's what goes
Focus, Amory. Focus. The closer.
Yeah, you know how how some people have a one-track mind? Amory has like a multi-track mind.
I like it that way. I like it like that. I like it. Anyway, I like Kira Sedgwick's daughter playing her niece.
Uh-huh.
Sosie Bacon playing Charlie, not Charlene. Don't call her Charlene. She hates it.
Charlie. That's such a teenager thing.
It is. Oh, such a teenager thing. I just have to go on record again saying that The Closer is one of my favorite shows on TV and that this has been a very good season.
It's not often that a show, you know, this many seasons in, still like every episode is like they don't seem to like miss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still as good or better at times than, you know, when it started. And they've been able to keep it while the characters grow, both, you know, Kira Sedgwick's character and all the rest of the detectives, there's some growth in each of those characters and how they've continued to get closer as a group.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they keep things fresh with different, while there's always the case of the week, they always bring in these other little things, like now bringing in, you know, her niece that's, you know, giving, you know, lots of teenage problems and stuff like that for her to deal with along with whatever the case of the week is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And those types of things, it started out well, I think. I'll see how it goes for the next couple episodes or whatever, but they've done that all along with either a guest star or a guest star that does an arc, you know, or or at different times, different people have, you know, she had to deal with, and either they come around or they don't. You know, inside the police department, they just have done a really good job of keeping something fresh while telling interesting stories each week. And then here and there, every other episode or every couple episodes, it's one of the funniest shows on TV sometimes.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's totally. The cast is funny. They're spot on. I just think it's really, it's doing a fabulous job. But I don't really have much to say other than that about this week's episode. Except that as soon as I saw Libby from Lost, I knew she was, spoiler alert, involved. Anyway, so after the closer, what's next on our list? Because I don't write anything down. Let's be honest.
In Plain Sight.
Ain't no valley too high. No, nope, mountain sight. Too high.
Why wouldn't you go to So You Think You Can Dance?
I don't know, because when we were talking about it, we said the closer, and then we said In Plain Sight, and that's how I wrote it.
Well, let's go the other direction, because I have them written down as how they played out throughout the week.
Wait, So You Think You Can Dance? No. In Plain Sight.
So You Think You Can Dance didn't play out until Thursday. Yeah, so it's not really.
Yeah, but we don't have anything else but Burn Notice and Psych. And then
fine, we'll talk about So You Think You Can Dance, Ray.
So You Think You Can Dance finale. Sadly, I did not win the dance league.
No, you didn't, but you came in fourth place, didn't you? Something like that.
I think John just threw me a bone. That's what I think.
Yeah, you got the most bonus points. And I didn't finish in last place, so huzzah!
How many people were in this contest?
13 or 16.
There were more than 13.
20? I don't really know.
It depends on how good fourth is, you know.
Yeah, fourth is pretty good. Fourth is pretty good.
You came in fourth out of four of us. But
no, it was
I am saying that I think he threw me a bone. I will say that. I'm not saying that, I don't know how many people.
Is that because you guys hang out all the time and you're like really good friends and he was going to throw you a bone?
No. because I was participating each week.
That's true.
Difficult hammering.
See, it's always that participation grade people. That helps out.
It's true. When
there's
you
like
raise your
30,
hand to class.
Class participation.
30. Oh my God. There's like 30 people.
Really?
Yeah. I just counted it.
Wow. And by counted, did you mean you counted the countdown that he has? Because where you have, there's, never mind. The website is like 1, 2, 3. He has them labeled by numbers, right?
He doesn't have them labeled by numbers. I had to actually
count.
Oh, so
you did the counting on your own. Okay, just checking.
Correct.
Yes,
when I say I counted them, I mean I counted them.
And you didn't get confused when you had to go back to your hands again?
I did not come in last place, and that's all I'm excited about. So
you were 30th?
No. And the good news is Brandon didn't win, and Evan didn't win. So I'm feeling good.
Well, that's not necessarily good news for me, because Janine, who I did not like, won. So
you didn't like Janine?
No, I didn't really care for Janine.
Why?
I couldn't really tell you. Actually, I could tell you, because I didn't think she... couldn't really tell you, but I forgot that I actually did have a reason that one, I never warmed to her. Two, I thought I never really thought maybe with Brandon, probably is the only one I felt like she had any like chemistry with, and I felt like she didn't really work hard to like with her partners. I don't know how to explain what I mean. Not work.
She didn't like to make out with Jason. That's for sure.
I'm sure she worked hard with them, but I got like there are just times when she was kind of like. I don't know. It came through in the dance that she was kind of standoffish when she was dancing with her partners. Probably not Jason. I think she had some chemistry with Jason, but
yeah, when they started making out on stage, it wasn't choreographed, which she was quick to point out to the audience. That wasn't choreographed. Exactly. Well, okay, good. You're a whore.
All right. See, anyway. Now you're talking about her like that.
What?
You're the one who likes her and you're talking about her like that.
I know. Imagine the people. I know. Imagine how badly I talk about the people I don't like.
I know how you talk about
them. We don't
them,
have to imagine.
Point is that, I mean, I don't dislike any of them. I don't know any of them. But, like, as far as what came across with, like, stage performance and whatever, I preferred both Evan and Brandon to...
See, that's why I didn't like Brandon, because what came across to me was this very arrogant, I can do no wrong kind of guy. Not to say he's not a good dancer, because I thought he was a very good dancer. I just didn't like him.
I just didn't... I guess because I don't watch the behind the scenes. To me, it's all about what's happening on stage. So, like, I don't watch any of those rehearsal scenes. I don't watch any of that. So, like, I fast forward through all of that. So it's really just what's happening on the stage. And I just felt like in those senses that I didn't feel like Janine was, like, warm, like, close with any of the other partners that she had besides the first few. But anyway, whatever. It doesn't really matter. Janine won. Neither one of us guessed that as the winner.
I had Philip as the winner. Okay.
Yeah, okay. I had Evan. So I was pretty damn close, but only because his fans got him there.
And exactly.
I have to just say this. I do feel like the judges picked on Evan a lot.
They did.
And I say that not as, I don't think they were necessarily, not that they weren't justified. It was that I felt like they picked on him and then they didn't pick on other people who were doing the same type of things.
I got you.
You know, so it's not so much that they weren't justified in critiquing him. It's that I felt like they went easy on other people and hard on him. And I think they did it to perhaps influence the voters because they had certain agendas in mind. This is all paranoia, I guess, because I don't know this for a fact. But I think that if they really, I think what they should learn by this, if they weren't happy with Evan getting as far as he got, was that you probably shouldn't go overboard on critiquing someone hoping that that will sway the audience. Like, you probably should try a little harder to make it an even keel type of thing, because clearly the audience responds to you picking on someone just as much as they respond to you.
Exactly.
Loving someone.
Which is why, like, Sanjaya got so far all the time on American Idol, because they were like, you were terrible, and then...
Right, exactly. People felt bad, and so they, especially if they like somebody, if you really, like, tear them down, even if they did bad that week, like, that one week that Evan and Randy, they did bad, and they were not even one of the bottom three. And you know that's right. Because the judges teared them down, the way they treated them, like, the way they acted towards them. So even the fans who maybe would have agreed that they should have been part of the bottom three probably called and voted because they felt like their favorites were getting picked on. So I think that you should probably even that out a little if you're one of those judges, you know, because my vast experience in this world. All right, anyway, whatever, we're done. I'm done talking about So You Think You Can Dance.
I am too. Like the judges. On to the fall season. What's next on the list?
Burn Notice.
Jason's monitoring the list. What can we talk about next?
I don't know who's next on the list.
So, Ray, you had something you wanted to say that bugs you.
What was your little problem?
This just bugs me.
I think I may know. Shows, I wanted to see if I'm right.
In general now. And it's just because times have changed. TV writers take note. I don't know if you're, like, hibernating and so you don't realize this. If you're calling someone on their cell phone from your cell phone and they don't answer, but you can clearly see that they're there and they probably know that you're calling, text them. You know, if you have something really important, like, hey, the dude's not alone, is it that hard to text that? That's all I'm saying.
That's true. No, I agree.
You look down and see. So it doesn't work for your what's about to happen in the TV show. I get that. But let's talk realistically now. People do check text messages. And so I think if you really needed to tell them something and you had no other way to tell them, you would resort to texting, even if it's not something, you know, they are kind of not necessarily the people you would picture texting each other. So right. I can get that. Right. But in this kind of situation, you would text somebody quickly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree completely. Jason, was that what you thought she would have a problem with?
No, I thought she was going to go with the fingerprint thing again, just because.
No, I didn't notice it this time.
When they were loading stuff, all we need to do is get them into this van, and they're opening and closing doors and putting stuff in, and none of them were wearing gloves.
Didn't they change it? I guess they were gonna ask them to transport it at first, huh? Because they changed it to the boat, but they did that.
Yeah, they ended up taking it out to the boat, but you know, their fingerprints and stuff were all over the van that they were going to try and get him into.
Right.
And
yeah, I didn't really notice that. I guess because theoretically, the other fingerprints would then be on the van. And
the only,
but yeah, I agree.
No, the thing that bothered me that I didn't quite get, or where I got a little bit confused, was Fiona is going back home, and this gets her like name back, you know, people hearing about her, and that gets somebody that wants to get her, but then ends up wanting to take her back and put her on the auction block or whatever. And all I could think of is, why wouldn't you just wait till she got there? She was coming. Why would you have to, you know, why would you have to send somebody? And then if you were sending somebody, then why would you still be thinking about going back there? It sounds like that would be, if, you know, people starting to hear your name again would get a bunch of people that are pissed off at you thinking about you again. It doesn't seem like going back there is a very safe place for you. So both those things confuse me.
Here's why I'm okay with it. Because Jeffrey Donovan got to have an Irish brogue. And because Paul Blackthorne was in this episode. And I love him. Love him.
I would say that I didn't get the impression that it was like because she was moving, in the sense that anybody knew she was necessarily coming back. I got the impression was she was underground. And because she was getting ready to move, she was like suddenly making herself visible because she was doing things that would draw somewhat attention to herself. Like selling her house and doing.
Well, I thought it was said someplace that it was back home that they, you know, that it started to stir, you know, her name.
Right. No.
Back up. And so if going back home or having your name heard because you're planning to go back home or whatever, would stir that type of things up. It seems like that would be a place that you wouldn't, that if you weren't shocked.
Yeah, but she didn't know that.
Yeah, no, but
like until her brother showed up and told her, she didn't know that name.
Yeah, but then she said something like, well, there is a lot of people that are, you would be pissed off at me or whatever, or something like that. But the other thing was, if she was actually going there, it seems like coming to take her and then take her back when she was coming seemed odd to you. I don't know. It was just a
little bit
off.
I meant before by, well, first it didn't sound like he initially had that plan. Like they sounded like they were originally going to kill her, and then they decided while they were there, they decided taking her back would be a better plan.
Yeah, they changed their plans midway through.
Okay, maybe I missed that, but
because he initially was trying to kill her, and then he seemed to change his plans. Like, we didn't hear about his change of plans until later, but he was clearly trying to kill her earlier in the episode. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good episode otherwise.
Oh, yeah, it was a great episode.
There was lots to like in it. There was just a couple little things that I was like, wait. You've got to have certain things to be able to actually create the story or something like that. But every once in a while, you create something where you're just like, it hinges on something that, well, overall it's good, but that little thing that it sort of hinges on is kind of flimsy, you know?
Yeah.
And it had a little bit of the feel of that to me, but I still like the episode.
Can't wait to see what happens next.
That's the other thing, though, that I don't like is these, you know, 13, 15 episode seasons or whatever that get broken up into like 8 or 9 and 5 or what have you. That's annoying to me, especially when other series, there's no consistency on USA. You have a series like In Plain Sight, you know, that starts in April and runs all the way, you know, through however many episodes they end up running, and like 15 or 16 episodes, and I think 15. And then you have, like, Royal Pain starts up, and they're going to run the whole, it looks like they're running a whole season, but Burn Notice is taking a break off, and then Monk and Psych will run for 8 or 9 weeks, and then they'll come back in the, and that stuff kind of annoys me, just because, mostly because of the, when it comes back, 4 or 5 weeks is, like, too short. It just, like, zips right by. And if they were going to do it, I wish, I think we mentioned this before, but I wish they would do like 20 episodes and do like 10 and 10 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, they should break it more evenly, or they should give them more episodes so they, if they really want to break them up.
They could like rule the summer.
Like, yeah.
TNT has, you know, popped up this, although, you know, TNT's doing that, starting to do that stuff too, where they break the seasons. But they could, with the number of shows that they have now, that they could just play them like 15 weeks straight over the summer. And just, mm-hmm. You know, from June to early September or something like that, and just completely rule the summer. And then do stuff like, you know, TNT's done that, where they would do like a Christmas episode. Or
right.
Monk and Psych have done that, where they keep one episode to play at Christmas time or something like that.
Right.
And, but yeah, I don't know. That's the other thing that kind of bothers me is less than 10 episodes, and then it comes back for 4 or 5 episodes or something like that.
Yes. Okay, so what's next on our list?
Psych, the season premiere ep.
I like that they took the time to embrace their real surroundings and not have to convince us that, that Vancouver is Santa Barbara.
Yeah, Santa Barbara.
Well,
normally because Santa Barbara in the Psych TV show is a much bigger city or much bigger place than it actually is, you know, with the observatories and all kinds of, and giant stadiums and, why can I not think of where you go and they got, you know, fish and...
The aquarium?
That's the word I'm trying to think of. Because aquatorium was not the place.
Aquatorium. That's awesome.
But
I'm going down to the aquatorium.
That's right. And stuff like that. But yeah, I really liked seeing... Especially since Vancouver gets used for so many different places. Since so many shows film up there. And it was nice to actually see Vancouver play itself.
Yeah, oh yeah. Ain't no mountain high enough.
But I also really liked Carrie Elway's. I like the back and forth.
I like
between
Wesley.
Between him and Sean. Or, you know, that their characters, the characters back and forth was was pretty good. Plus, I also liked the last minute, you know, trip or whatever, but then Gus finally figuring out that it wasn't originally planned for him, for mm-hmm. them to go on it, that it was merely supposed to be a romantic weekend, but his, you know, new girlfriend wasn't able to come, and I thought that was really funny when, you know, Gus finally kicked him out of the carriage.
Ray, what did you think? I know you love the show.
I do love the show.
Oh my God, what happened?
Robot Ray.
I do love the show.
There you go. She's back.
She's back.
I thought this was a good episode. I wouldn't say it was a great episode, but it had lots of funny stuff in it. I watched it 4 times, so must wow. be somewhat good.
How many times do you watch the great episodes?
I watch them a lot. This show, I find that one of the things I love about it is that the episodes, even when I don't love the episodes, it's not one of my favorite episodes, I can watch them 1,000 times because there's always some little joke that I missed or something going on that's funny. I just love it.
Yeah, this episode also had the bit that they've been playing as the commercial with them taking a little shot, a little swipe at The Mentalist.
Yeah.
And that was pretty good, too.
That's Psych. We loved it. It wasn't the greatest episode, but it was good.
It was good enough to watch 4 times, but it wasn't great.
Yes.
I'm just saying, it wasn't like their best season opener.
Right.
It was good.
I agree.
All right.
Okay, the last thing on our list is In Plain Sight, which neither of you watch.
Yes. So
I guess that leaves it to me to say something about it. At the beginning of season 1, with all the family stuff, it was bothersome, but they sort of found their footing towards the end of the season, and I thought they really came into their own for the second season, I've really enjoyed the second season. So to hear at the end of the season that the showrunner, creator, and the network are parting ways because they've been going back and forth on the direction of the show leaves me with a little bit of pause for what season three will be. Apparently, mm-hmm. the network wants it to be more upbeat and, I guess, fit in a little better with their other characters wanted type stuff, and they felt too many episodes sort of had a downbeat to them. And I guess on some notes that that was true, but it has its sort of own voice. It's kind of found itself, and so I'm sort of interested but also worried about whether they will be able to keep enough, because they're also talking about getting rid of the detective and then also getting rid of the mother, which getting rid of the mother is not a huge deal because she wasn't in most of the season anyways. She was either off in rehab, or even once she was back, she was like never home. So she only maybe appeared in, like, I don't know, less than a handful of episodes for the whole season. And so that's not, having her become a recurring character or occasionally show up is not a big deal, because that's what they've already been doing pretty much. But getting rid of the detective that they've sort of built a rapport with, that, you know, he kind of knows what's going on type of thing, seems kind of odd. Even though he's not going to be completely gone, they're going to bring him on. But it also sounds like they're going to de-escalate some of the family side of the story, which I think they found the right balance in the last season.
Is the sister still on the show?
Yeah, the sister's still going to be on the show.
Is she any better of an actress than she was?
She looks pretty.
Guess that's a no.
No, she's all right. I don't really notice it as being terrible actress or anything. But I just thought that some of the changes or some of the things that they were talking about just seems sort of that if they change the tone too much to try and get it closer to the more, you know, I don't know, psych monk type mm-hmm. of, you know, comedy type stuff, that you won't see it past the third season, because I don't know that it'll draw in new people as much as it'll drive away people that liked it the way it was. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, you end up in the same place or worse off. So that's the only thing. That's the only thing I had to say about it is I found it odd, just because I thought that this season was actually really good, and for the most part, as compared to how it was in the first season. But ultimately, you know, the guy paying the bills wins out.
Exactly.
So
agreed.
We'll see what they do. I mean, it's hard to argue somewhat because, I mean, they do. They've produced a lot of good shows, and granted, that one is a little bit darker than everything else that they have. But as long as it has interesting characters doesn't have to mean wacky or hilarious or something like that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Characters wanted just means that it has. That the shows are built around or have interesting characters, and I think you do in Mary, even though she can be a bit of a downer, but it brings out some funny moments in the show with just the dynamic that they have set up. So
cool. Well, we'll see what happens.
Yep, have to wait till next spring, probably next April again, before the show returns.
Cool.
Did either of you watch Dirty Sexy Money?
I did, but I haven't.
I haven't watched. I have like the last four episodes on the DVR. I haven't watched them.
Because while we were talking, Mona left me a message to tell me that she'd finally watched the last of the Dirty Sexy Money episodes and that she was happy with the way they ended. I wish I could.
That's interesting, considering that
Don't feel that way,
considering that the show just sort of ends.
That's most people, like, not regular viewers, though.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, here. I'm going to try to play this, see if it'll work.
Hanson, it's Laura Whitley.
Can you hear that?
I just wanted to let you know that, yes, I finished watching Dirty Sexy Money, the final episode, and I have to tell you that I was very impressed with the way that they ended it. I don't know if that was something that they just did at the spur of the moment, but I was impressed with the ending of the whole thing. It made me feel good about a series being canceled.
Hmm. Anyway. Well, so there you go.
Now I want to watch it just to see.
I know. Made her feel good about a show being canceled. So I wonder, because I've seen a lot of things that are like, didn't you know you were going to be canceled? Why didn't you change? Blah, blah, blah. And apparently.
That seems to be the reaction that I've heard is.
I mean, at least among followers and friends. Like, I don't talk to many, what's the word I'm looking for? Normal people.
Average viewers.
Average viewers. I don't talk to many average viewers.
The average TV fan.
If I did talk to the average TV fan, I would ask them two questions. Why do you watch 2.5 Men so much? And B, what is so great about The Secret Life of the American Teenager? Because I think nothing.
And if you asked them about Dirty Sexy Money, they wouldn't know, because that's why it got canceled. The average viewer wasn't watching it.
Mona could answer the first question for you.
Who could? All you right. Guys. You both could. You both watch it.
I don't watch it regularly. I watch it occasionally, and I do find it funny. She watches it regularly. One of her shows.
Geez. Anyway, so see, do we have anything else on our primetime list?
Because prime 2.5 Men is done. Funny. I don't. That's the only thing I can say. 2.5 Men is funny. It's not overly clever. It's not, you know, it's, you know, but it is funny. That's it. And they do a good job of playing off of each other. It's repetitive, but yet still funny.
So there you go.
In other news, I watched my first UFC fight this weekend.
That's exciting.
It was thrilling, and I know so much about the UFC fighting now. I feel like I know everything. And if I have UFC listeners out there, next time there's a pay-per-view event, I'm going to buy it.
All right, crazy girl.
I know.
No, that's it for our prime time. I just wanted to throw that one in there because I got the message while we were talking. So
excellent.
I think that means we're done with that.
That means we're done that.
With that, I didn't say that. All right, next week we'll be discussing, we're going to do a little preview of new shows coming on cable this fall. Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, new cable. A fall preview for cable of what's new, what's returning.
Cool.
Okay.
So if you guys know of any shows, let us know.
Yes, if you would like to chime in on anything we said here, if you know of any shows, if you hated the end of Dirty Sexy Money and you don't agree with Mona, any of that, feel free to leave us a comment on our website at tvtimes3.com.
Spell it all out.
Jazz hands. Or yep. You could always call us on Snapvine, but none of you ever do, so whatever.
whatever.
You can talk to us on Twitter at TVTimes3, twitter.com, TVTimes3.
Spell it all
or
out.
You can leave us some feedback on iTunes. Any of those options. Or, you know, you can
all
email
of those
us.
Options. Using contact. Do multiple things. We like multiple things.
That's what she said. Yes,
we'll
you can do any of
that.
Oh, anyway.
You took a minute to reflect on that joke, didn't you, Ray?
No, I was thinking of comebacks, and then I decided to let it go. Anyway, so I think we're done, and I just keep talking. Our music today, provided by Amory from MyTakeOnTV.com. Also provided by IODAPromonet.com. The song is TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers from their Mercurial title. Put out by Yellow Dog Records. I was so close. So close.
Missed so close. It by that much.
Okay.
All right. 7:15.
I got to go decorate a cake, so I got to go.
And I have to go to sleep because I was up too late.
Is that why you're all eating right. earlier? Because you're not going to go eat?
Yes. That's all exactly right. It. I ate before the podcast today. Huh? Surprise!
Twist.
Spoiler alert, I've already eaten.
Oh, speaking of eating.
Oh, gosh.
No, did you ever get the pancake sliders at Perkins?
Oh, yeah. No. Ray, did you ever go? Oh, no,
sorry. I didn't go to Perkins this week.
We were living vicariously through you and your Perkins.
That just
I'm
sucks.
Sorry. I'll have to go next week.
That's terrible.
The problem
That's
is just... that I only go for lunch and then I don't eat breakfast for lunch, so.
I gotcha. I eat breakfast but for I'll, any meal, I'll, any day. Ever.
I'll attempt it. I do eat breakfast for lunch, but I don't like to. I don't. Never mind.
At any rate, we've gone on longer than we anticipated.
Yes,
what
let's
else
go.
Is new?
What else is new? Ray, what kind of cake are you decorating?
I can say it because this is not going to come out till later. I'm decorating a cake for a friend's surprise baby shower.
Nice. You're not going to put like a baby on it, are you?
So you can eat the baby.
What?
Like, you're not going to do one of those creepy cake wrecks kind of cakes,
no,
right?
No, I'm not doing that. I mean, it's
a mother's stomach.
I do have a... I actually think a mother's stomach would be cute, but no. I'm not doing a mother's stomach.
So how exactly would you start to cut that cake? Exactly.
I know.
Well,
scary.
You know, it's like a cesarean, so... Anyway.
All right, on that note...
Do it right. If you do it right, you make it with red velvet cake so that...
Oh, nice.
So anyway. Like... Exactly.
Anyway.
I'll post a picture, but it won't be till after tomorrow.
That reminds me of True Blood's episode last night. I got a text message when it was done. That was the best True Blood I've ever seen. It was so gross. I'm like, oh, awesome. I agree that it was gross, but come on now. I wanted to sleep. Anyway... I'm just rambling All at this right. point. I gotta go.
Yep. Let's go.
All right, goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye.
We sit glued to the TV set all night.
And every day.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
Hello and welcome to episode number 39. I didn't say TV times three. All right, sorry. Starting over. Take two.
That you still, like, really, really look forward to, you know, episodes. What is the deal with the phone?
It's ringing.